Welcome to the Lynx Magazine Golf Podcast. My name is Graylin Loomis, and I'm joined by co-host Ian Kreitzer. Today, we are broadcasting live for Season 2, Episode 1, from the Dominican Republic. Ian, where are we sitting right now?
We are sitting at Casa de Campo, in our room, but looking out over this great view and the 10th hole of Teeth of the Dog. So not a bad place to record and start Season 2, kicking it off with a bang.
Not bad at all. Right through the trees I'm looking at right now, I can make out ocean in the distance. And we're down here. We've been here, 5 days? We've played a lot of golf. Well, I say 5 days. Ian, you've actually been here 4 because you had a flight canceled.
Yeah. It's shocking. Anyone who's listened to Season 1 knows I've had some issues with flights, so don't fly with me. We're leaving today, and Graylin's on the same flight, so fingers crossed nothing happens with our flight. So we'll see, but knowing me, something will probably happen.
Well, it's been a great time down here, and we want to just kick off this episode and this season by talking about this resort. You know, this podcast is all about golf travel, and we haven't really talked about any Caribbean destinations. You know, we've talked a lot about Scotland. We've talked a lot about some domestic spots, but we've had the chance to spend some really good quality time down here. We've played quite a bit of golf together, Teeth of the Dog and Dive 4. So give us a little rundown. What is Casa de Campo, and what can people expect if they want to consider a trip down here?
I think everything is very, very, you know, top notch. It's a very good resort, 5-star resort. And the golf, I think, speaks for itself in a lot of ways. But Teeth of the Dog is, you know, a top 100, you know, very highly rated, wonderful Pete Dye course. And he kind of, this was his baby, essentially.
Yep.
He has a house off the 7th hole. It's
in many ways, it's the course that people say that put him on the map. You know, this was one of his earlier designs. And for those who haven't been down here, the course is known for its oceanfront holes. There are, I think, 7 of them in total.
Yeah, and they're very dramatic.
Very, you know, very dramatic oceanfront holes. And when we say oceanfront, it's not holes that have, you know, 40 yards of dunes and then, you know, ocean. We're talking waves crashing onto the tee boxes, waves, you know, lapping up at the edge of the greens.
Yeah,
It's really, really spectacular. And what I like is all of the oceanfront holes are different. You're coming at, I guess you play 4 of them in one direction on one of the 9s, and then you're coming at it from a totally different direction on the other.
Right.
So the wind directions change. 3 of the 4 par 3s on the course are on the ocean. All 3 play at different lengths there. It's really fun. I kind of had an attitude. I had heard a lot about this place. We've had a lot of coworkers come down here and friends come down here, and everyone raved about it. And I kind of had that attitude of, oh, I can't be as good as they say, you know.
Yeah.
And it's pretty darn good, you know, in terms of dramatic holes. We've found ourselves comparing this a lot to Pebble Beach throughout the week.
Yep.
And, you know, we did some drone flying. I probably shouldn't put that on record, but by the time this goes live,
statute of limitations,
statute of limitations will have gone out. Apparently I wasn't allowed to fly the drone, but that's okay.
You know,
I'll just be banned from the Dominican Republic for a few years. And,
make it back eventually. Yeah.
The whole time, Ian and I were, you know, thinking, if, you know, Pebble has cliffs, which add a lot of drama.
Right.
But in terms of quality oceanfront holes, Teeth of the Dog really stacks up. You can see why it's, you know, makes every top 100 world list much every year.
And the inland holes are very good, very good golf holes as well. But when similarly to Pebble, they're not the ones to get the press. And the ones at Pebble are good as well. But if you're familiar with the resort, you've seen the, you know, the dramatic like greens sticking out into the, you know, what gave the course its name, the Teeth of the Dog. Those are the teeth jutting out into the Caribbean.
Yep.
And it makes for a tough golf course,
especially when the wind's up.
Yeah. Which when we played, the wind was kind of, it was breezy, but nothing crazy. But in some of the tournament play, the wind kicks up and whew, yeah, it's tough.
One of the things I always look for when I'm at a resort, especially for as long as we've been here, 5 days, am I going to get bored with the golf options? And one of the things that I do like about Costa Campo that I didn't understand before we got here was that the Die 4 course, or really it's 27 holes
three
up there.
Three separate nines.
Yeah, three separate nines. That's like way up in the hills. I mean, you're probably, 600 or 700 feet of elevation up there.
Yeah.
And that offers a completely different take on golf. So I enjoyed that. I liked the difference. I liked being able to play Teeth of the Dog. It's mainly flat. You're right along the ocean.
Yeah.
And then you take the shuttle up to Die 4, probably 15 minutes or so, or you can take your golf cart. And all of a sudden you have a kind of a mountain golf feel.
Yeah. And two of those three nines are very, very dramatic as far as one, you're playing along this, the banks of this river, 600, 700 feet up, like you said, very dramatic. And then one of the other nines you're playing down kind of towards the marina. And then, so you make this turn and this big sweeping view and these downhill holes playing towards marina. And you can see in the distance, and it's fantastic. It's a really,
totally,
really cool view.
Totally different feels. Now, important to say, you might have guessed, listeners, from the name Die 4, that Pete Dye did those three nines up there as well.
Right.
So they're big on Pete Dye around here.
and as they should be, yeah.
It's even those three nines have different feels. It was fun. It's very fun. We've buried the lead a little bit here. Ian and I are down here, not on our own. We're down here with about 56 or so Lynx Magazine readers, Lynx subscribers.
Right.
We're here for a subscriber event, and it's been a tournament. We had practice rounds and then a tournament, and it's been a blast. It's been particularly fun for us talking to readers every day, finding out what do you guys want to read more of in terms of this podcast? What do you want to hear more of? What do you guys think of Teeth of the Dog? What do you think of Die 4? What do you think of Costa Campo as a whole? So it's been a great learning experience for us. And it's also been fun. We kind of live in this bubble working in the golf industry where you kind of think to yourself, well, everyone's kind of an architecture snob, or everyone wants to just go play 36 a day. Everyone wants to do this or that. And being down here with a bunch of readers, you realize we really need to cater to this entire spectrum. We have people on this trip who've played 36 every day for 5 days in a row.
Yeah.
We have people on this trip who don't play golf. They're here with their spouses or partners.
Who do. And
yeah,
that's another good thing is that the resort offers a lot to do for the non-golfers as well, which it was worth mentioning. But
yeah, very true.
Yeah.
The non-golfers here seem to be having a great time.
Yeah.
We were saying, Ian and I just got back from breakfast and we were saying, yeah, have you been to the beach yet? I was like, no, I haven't been to the beach yet. I mean, we haven't seen half the amenities on offer here. I know there's equestrian and shooting and all this stuff. Ian and I pretty much have just played golf. So
feel very bad for us as far as that goes. So that what I really liked was, we don't get to interact with our subscribers on a personal, level very often. But in this trip, we got to, kind of be the faces and, ask people directly, what do you want to see? What do you want to do? And ask people to just make conversation and learn more about them.
Where do you guys want to have, the next couple Lynx events? We do events every year. Typically, we do one in Scotland, one here at Costa Campo. Occasionally one right in Hilton Head.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. And we get feedback all the time on social media and email, but it's hard to beat being in a, during a round, spending 4 hours with somebody kind of talking about what they want to do. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've been really interested or kind of curious. I've actually heard a pretty even split between people who prefer Die 4 over Teeth of the Dog.
Right.
Which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
if you were to go by the rankings, everybody should just love Teeth of the Dog. But a lot of people love that mountain golf feel.
Exactly.
I was paired up yesterday with a guy named Paul from Houston. Houston's obviously very flat. And he said, you know, I have all the flat golf I want. I love that Die 4. And interesting, you know,
a
cool take. And that's half the appeal. You know, a great golf resort needs to offer something, some variety, you know, even if it's subtle variety, like Stream Song has, you know, red, blue, and black. It's all built on somewhat similar land, but each course has its own character.
Right.
Pinehurst obviously has their 10 courses plus now with the Cradle and everything. But you've got to have that variety, and Casa de Campo definitely has it down here. This is our first time ever coming down, ever visiting, even though this is our fourth Lynx Reader event we've done here.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of the exciting things we did is we were able to speak to two longtime Lynx readers, Lynx subscribers, earlier, and we recorded them for this podcast, and we spoke with them about all of their golf travels, a little bit about their careers, two longtime career Army guys, two colonels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting guys named Arch and Tom. We did a round of questions, round of quick fire questions, and had a blast speaking to them. So we'll play you that interview right after a word from our sponsors. Ian and I are joined by Arch and Tom here at Casa de Campo. We've just finished the event. We played our final round today at Teeth of the Dog. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Oh, we had a fabulous time. Thanks for having such a great event.
Good, good, good. Well, tell us a little bit about your golf backgrounds. When did you guys start playing, and how did you get into the game?
Well, we started probably when we were 7 or 8, 9 years old with our parents. I think we both probably have the same background. We've both been playing for 62, 3 years probably playing golf.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. How did you guys meet?
So we were classmates at West Point, and in the spring of 1968, they had a meeting for anyone who was going to try to go out for the golf team. We'd both played golf in high school.
Yeah.
So we were doing anything to do something fun at the military academy. So we both went out for the golf team and made the team and played together for 4 years. Arch was a stalwart on the team. I was a hanger-on. Tom was, but that really forged our bonds of friendship for all these years.
This has nothing to do with Casa de Campo, but tell us a little bit about that West Point course. I've heard about it. It's apparently very hilly, isn't it? Or have I heard wrong?
Exactly right. It's, you know, it's part of it's like on a ski slope in the wintertime.
Okay, so gotcha.
You know, it's very, very hilly. Lots of rocks. It's turned out over the years to become a very nice play up there. It's only open like 6 or 7 months of the year, but
yep.
Short golf season at West Point, New York.
And West Point sometimes is called in some aspect, I don't know what it's called, our rock bound Highland home.
Okay.
In a song or something. And there's a lot of rocks. If you miss the fairway, you can get some incredible bounces there. But yeah, they really have done a nice job of improving the course over the years since we were there.
Cool. What were some of the interesting places? Now, obviously, we've talked about you guys meeting at West Point, so should be clear by now that you're both career military guys. What were some of the interesting places the military brought you, where you could bring your clubs, or was it possible to bring your clubs to any of these places?
Well, neither of us spent a lot of time in combat.
Right.
In my case, none.
In mine also, basically.
Yeah. But from Hawaii to Berlin, Germany, every assignment, which were about 15 of them, there's always a golf course. There was always my kids played. Got my wife playing, so we've always been able to play golf in all these places around the world.
Yep. See, that sounds pretty exotic to me and Ian. I mean, I know that you know, combat or no combat, that's some pretty interesting places still.
Yeah. I mean, playing golf in Hawaii and Berlin are just like the two polar opposites of, yeah. You know, yeah. My dad was a Navy guy, and then my grandfather was a Marine Corps colonel. So I see you have a Kaneohe Clipper shirt on. So he played out there weekly, you know, twice a week. So that's, you know, there's a good connection there. And he speaks very highly of courses out in Hawaii, especially that one.
That is a sweet golf course. And it's got the best ocean holes in all of Hawaii. It's got three holes along the ocean back there that are just unbelievable.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Prettier than this.
Oh, so, wow.
So it's really
wow.
Cool.
As pretty.
I know.
High praise. Because we did run the course in an issue recently. I think it was Best Military Courses. Exactly. It made it into the magazine.
Sorry.
Yeah, very cool. At what point in life did you guys start taking golf trips? And I mean, you know, the two of you, obviously you've done more than one Lynx event together. At what point did you start taking golf-specific trips where it wasn't like a family trip where you played around, but it was a golf trip with the purpose of we're going to tee it up?
Well, my experience in all that is probably in the last 5 years.
Okay.
And, you know, have linked into Arch. He did a lot more of golf travel with family members. So we had a wonderful week in Ireland 5 years ago, another great week in Scotland 3 years ago. We go to Hawaii as couples every spring, and we play golf every other day on a couple of week trip and just have a grand time. And then this is our third year of joining this great event. And in our spouses, you know, in the Army, you call those kitchen passes.
Yep.
And they let us do this, and it's an awful sweet deal. And Arch has an extensive history of travel.
Yeah, my brother and I went to Scotland in like 1982 for the first time.
Yep.
And we did it the old-fashioned way. We rented a car. We drove ourselves. He sent letters to the secretaries of all the best clubs, to Troon, to Turnberry, to all Muirfield, and we went over there and drove on the wrong side of the road, and we made all of our own arrangements.
Yep.
And we played golf for a week, 36 holes a day, and then that was kind of started a habit of us going back there every 2 or 3 years. So I've been over there about 15 times with various cousins, brothers. we took our pals. Yeah, it's been, you know, I've been to Bandon Dunes with some cousins.
Yeah.
Greenbrier.
Yeah.
These are guys golf trip things. You've been to Kohler or Whistling Straits?
Not yet.
You went to Sand Hills.
Yeah, I went to Sand Hills and Dismal River Club just earlier a month ago, and we went down to Stream Song, the two of us, and had a great time last spring.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a high point. It gives you something to look forward to. And in Minnesota, where I live, you know, it gives you a reason to go hit balls in a dome somewhere.
Right, right. Well, so you guys have traveled a lot together, and I'm setting you up to say some embarrassing things about each other, but you don't need to. Hey, what do you look for in a golf buddy? And in all seriousness, like for someone who's not done a ton of golf travel but wants to find a friend, What's the difference between somebody that you just have around your home club that you tee it up occasionally, and then someone who you actually want to take a trip with?
Well, I'll try that. And given my golf game, the critical ingredient is patience with your partner and encouragement. And, you know, we've been doing this so long, we just kind of have a little back and forth that we just know what each other's and thinking, I mean, during the round of golf, plus, you know, just in all the other great festivities. And so it's just a wonderful gig for me. And Arch is blessed with tons of patience, and he's also got a pretty good needle going on.
Well, as long as the people you're playing golf with are having fun, you don't care whether they're shooting 70 or 100. As long as they're having fun and they play at a good pace.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't get really, as long as they're having, they don't get really mad and don't get down on themselves. So if you got a pleasant, upbeat personality, and they're interested in the three people around them, not just in themselves.
Right.
So you get that kind of person. You also need the kind of person who can sleep one guy in that bed and one in this bed.
Yeah.
So you got to have kind of a, you know, you got to get along and figure out how to enjoy each other's company.
There's some give and take, because you're gonna have good rounds, you're gonna have bad rounds. You know, Ian and I have taken a handful of trips together, and in fact, we're in our room here at the at Casa de Campo, and I think one of the key things is generally also knowing kind of the pace that your partner or buddy wants to go at. If I was the kind of guy that wanted to spend all afternoon on the beach and Ian was gunning for 36 a day and I'm holding Ian back and I'm thinking Ian's being annoying and pushy, you get a sense of that. And but as you guys have found, once you kind of click with somebody, once you find your golf buddy or your group of golf buddies that you can travel with, it's unlocked from there. The world is your oyster.
It's hard to find. Trips are best with 4 or 8.
Yeah.
They're actually even better with 8, because you play with different people every day if you do it that way. It's a great challenge to find 8 people that, when you look at, you're out, you're going to go someplace, we need to get 8 guys to go play golf.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get the right chemistry. So it's you got to work hard at that.
It's something that you might think, oh, it's easy to find 8, but you don't, it can make or break a trip in some ways.
No
question. Having the wrong group of guys, I've been on a couple of those trips. In fact, I've been on trips where I didn't choose the group at all. I filled in as the 8th man when somebody dropped out, and you do kind of wish, I wish I was here with my my friends.
Another thing we found is it's great if you've got an organizer, like Arch is always the organizer and putting things together, and then we have an accountant in the group, and the accountant, so you're not, someone's having a wee of a time and ordering a couple of bottles of wine with dinner, and then you're all splitting the bill. It's never a good thing.
No.
We have a fellow who's magic on his iPad, and you pay for what you spent, and that helps everyone get along.
Yeah, and nobody feels like they've been kind of cut out. It's like, hey, I had a Diet Coke here.
Exactly.
On a recent trip, a friend recommended that our group download an app called Splitwise on our phones. And I had never used it. It's fairly new, but it does exactly what you just said, where you input, hey, I paid for this. Hey, you paid for that. And allows everything to kind of break up evenly. We were even in the, and not evenly in some cases, but we were in the UK and it did the pound a dollar exchange rate and everything. So we had one person, in charge of it who was monitoring the Splitwise app, and it's key.
That's very good.
See, we're almost 70 years old, so that level of technical kind of beyond us, but we might try it next time.
So we've talked earlier in this episode all about Casa de Campo and being here in the Dominican Republic. This is not your guys' first time here. Tell us what you like about Casa de Campo enough that you decided to come back instead of going to a different place.
Well, Tom saw the first advertisement a little over 3 years ago, and convinced me to that we needed to come do this, which was a terrific idea. And it's an absolutely stunning venue for golf. The golf courses are really excellent. Every day is different because the weather is different. The cost is, the best way to come down here cost-wise is to come with Lynx magazine.
Yep.
And the 60, 70 people who come down here with Lynx, we play with different people every day. We've enjoyed every single random pairing that we've had, because we've always enjoyed the people we're with. And now, when we come back, we know 10 or 15 people in on this thing
Right, right.
So it's comfortable for us to be here.
Good. And this resort, I mean, you know, it has everything. It has beautiful rooms, incredible hospitality, mm-hmm. warm people. It's very secure. I mean, we have had our same caddy now for the last 2 years every round, and he's like family. I mean, yeah. And he feels that way about us, and he works so hard to be the best caddy he can be. And so we appreciate that. And this is a lovely country. This is a beautiful people here. And the all-inclusive aspect, because I'm kind of a competitive guy, is really, really wonderful.
Nice. I agree. It's my first time, and it's Ian's first time, and we've really enjoyed it. We see the appeal. For the last 3 years that I've been at Lynx, everyone just come back raving, saying, "Oh man, I love this place." And then I've been sitting at my desk thinking, "Well, one year, and I finally got to come." So it's been great. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you one final question, and then I'm gonna hand it over to Ian for a couple quick fire questions, okay. And we'll wrap it up. But mine's a simple one. You guys have been with Lynx to Costa Campo a number of times now. Where would you like to come on a future Lynx trip? If you could choose any destination, where, you know, what should we add to the list? Where should we plan next?
That's a tough one.
I mean, we'll come back here.
Yeah, okay.
if Lynx comes up with a... some sort of a comparable thing at a place we've never been.
Yep.
Our minds, I think, are open to that possibility.
Nice.
But we've seen some of the Lynx trips to Scotland.
Yep.
And whatnot.
Yep.
You know, we play golf every day, folks. So if there are off days, that's not too appealing.
That's
to us.
A make or break. Yeah.
And also, you know, over there, if you're on a bus with 30 people.
35, yeah.
35. I think that's fine for a lot of people, but yeah. I think for us, we don't want to be with more than 4 or 8 people.
Especially on a trip to the UK. I totally get that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Ian, let's hear some quick fire questions.
Is this like a parody show?
Essentially. Okay. Essentially, yes.
I'm ready, David.
Ian Faraday here.
Do I have to do the accent too? Okay, so just a few quick fire questions. Just first thing that comes to your mind. It's not that many. It's nothing embarrassing. Just first thing that comes to your mind. So favorite golf destination you've ever been to?
The Old Course, St. Andrews.
Yeah, Scotland.
Perfect. The best golf shot you've ever hit?
My one hole in one.
And where was that?
At Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania, when I was going to the Army workout.
Very nice. Arch?
Can't think of one.
They're all good, right?
I had 9 holes in one, so it's not like...
So there's not a favorite of those yeah, 9, then. They're all good.
You have 9
can I,
best
can
shots.
Can I revise and extend my remarks? I would like to say the 6-foot putt I made for par on 18 today, which left a wonderful... remembrance in my heart. That was my favorite golf shot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Arch, we're no longer friends.
Okay, so what is your favorite thing about Costa de Campo?
The golf. The teeth of the dog.
Yeah.
It's spectacular. It's so pristine. It's so beautifully attended to. The caddies are great. It's just a wonderful day at golf. Incredible.
I couldn't agree more. Next one is, what's your favorite hole on Teeth of the Dog on that same note?
The way I played today, I'm probably inclined to choose my least favorite. But I think I love the little 120-yard par 3.
The fifth?
On the fifth.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Perfect.
It always beats us to death, but it's a fun little shot.
Exactly. And it's your first exposure to the ocean on the course. And you round that corner and it's just like, wow. You know, you can kind of peek through the palm trees going up, but that's your first real oceanfront hole. So the best golf travel tip that someone has given you that you've taken to heart?
make sure that you are able to layer.
That very, very good point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you've got a dress for everything, and you always want to make sure you bring your golf shoes with your carry-on baggage, just in case your clubs and your luggage doesn't get there with you.
Very, very good. That's all that I have. Those were fun and kind of quick off the top of your head. So.
Awesome, guys. Thank you for talking to us today. And we'll see you both next year, either here or at a new destination.
The good Lord willing.
Right. Perfect. Right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so very much.
Yeah, thanks to Lynx Golf.
Yep.
Thanks,
bye.
Lynx. We had having a great time.
Well, Ian, it was awesome speaking with Arch and Tom. I really enjoyed those guys. I had heard about them. You know, they've been to a number of these events. We had heard, yep, these are interesting guys. You ought to talk to them. And I think they delivered.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And it was fun talking to them about their careers and golf travel and a lot of crossover between the two and playing golf and, you know, Berlin and Hawaii, yeah, and all that stuff.
Well,
that,
and you have a deep military history in your family, too, which was fun, you know, off... non-recorded or unrecorded, you guys had some really interesting chats. And
definitely.
They're just great guys.
And so much fun to talk to. You could talk to them for hours and hours. But, you know,
I think they went back out to play again. So we had to let them go.
Yeah. Maybe they went to the pool. I don't know. But, you know, it was one of the many things that CASA has to offer. Yeah.
Well, perfect. We've had a great time down here. We've got to pack up the recording equipment because we got to catch a flight.
Tough.
Like leaving the Caribbean.
Tough life.
But we want to hear from you guys. What would you like to hear about on future travels? Where do you want to see, Ian and I go to where we can record on site and let you know what it's like and, you know, answer any questions you have? Reach out to us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Really, Instagram is one of the most exciting places what we have right now because we're just pumping out the content. A lot of that drone footage that I didn't take. I don't know who did.
Some random guy. Named Leyland Grumis.
But reach out to us at letters@lynx.com as well. Subscribe to the magazine. That's where you'll really find out about a lot of these events we do.
Yeah.
You'll find out via email and our website as well. But Ian, until next time, we'll probably be back in the Lynx offices for the next few episodes of season 2. But we've got some exciting ones lined up and a lot more to come.
So much fun.